Hello and welcome to episode 2 of 48 Hour Heroes Origin Stories. I'm your host, Kirk Nordenstrom, co-producer of the Seattle and Montana 48 Hour Film Projects. And in episode 2, I'm going to speak with a dear, dear friend of mine from the Netherlands. Her name is Indra van het Hof, and she is a city producer for Eindhoven and Nijmegen in the Netherlands. She's new to the gig. She's only been doing it a couple of years, but she has competed in 42 48-hour film projects over the years. And one year was the city winner and actually went to the short film corner at the Cannes Film Festival, which is, you know, no small feat. And it's kind of the, you know, the holy grail for 48-hour filmmakers around the world. The reason I wanted to talk to Indra early on in this is that Filmapalooza is coming up March 9th through 12th in Washington, D.C. And in a lot of ways, Indra really encapsulates, for me, what Filmapalooza is all about. In 2018, when Filmapalooza was in Paris, my wife Kasha and I were attending the opening night screening, a retrospective of the best French films and some of the other best films over the years in the 48-hour film project. And I remember Kasha and I were sitting in the theater, and there was this purple-haired woman sitting right behind me. And in the spirit of Filmapalooza, I introduced myself, and it turns out that it was Indra. And, you know, we just started chatting. She told me all about her film and introduced me to the actor in her film. And we were Facebook friends shortly after that. And we chatted throughout the duration of Filmapalooza and, you know, became casual friends over the course of those 5 days in Paris. Fast forward 2 years to Filmapalooza in Rotterdam, and the first day I see Indra working at the registration desk, and I was excited to see her because, you know, we'd been Facebook friends, but we hadn't seen each other in person in 2 years. And I saw all the ink on her arm. And my buddy Chris Cherry from Toronto, we had decided that we wanted to get tattoos, and our colleague Laura Schlecht from Houston had bailed on the idea of getting the tattoo with us. You know, understandable. It's a bit of a commitment. So, you know, we'd known that Indra had done all these 48s in the past, and it was in her blood. So we figured, why not? We'll ask if she wants to get it on her skin as well. So we asked Indra, hey, Chris and I, we're going to go get tattoos of the 48 logo. And she said, yeah, without a second thought. Just boom. Yeah, I'll do it. We found the place, a place called Bob's Tattoos, which is just right across the water from us, walking distance. It was great. And sure enough, Chris, Indra, and I, we got the 48 tattoos. And, you know, Indra's kind of become the younger sister I never had. So, you know, that's why she encapsulates what Filmapalooza is and encapsulates, you know, just how much fun Filmapalooza is. So, without further ado, let's get into the episode. Here's episode 2, 48 Hour Heroes Origin Stories, and my interview with Indra van het Hof. So it really doesn't matter what you look like, say or do.
I know that I had a cooler weekend than you. Hello, everyone. My name is Kirk Nordenstrom. I am the co-city producer of the Seattle 48-Hour Film Project and the Montana 48-Hour Film Project. If you're watching this, you've probably participated in the 48 or have gone to a screening of the 48. And, you know, I'd like to get some behind-the-scenes tidbits of the minutiae and trivia of what goes on in the 48. So I thought I'd step up and talk to the vast network of people associated with the 48 that I've accumulated since 2005 when I started in Seattle. And let's see here. So Filmapalooza, which is the international best of event of the 48, where the rest of the world gets mad at the Dutch and French because their films are so damn good. It's, you know, all the filmmakers from all over the world, from the 130 cities where the 48 is held in. We all get together. We watch each other's movies, embarrass ourselves singing karaoke, and basically have, you know, a fantastic time in creating this, you know, giant family network of filmmakers. And that's coming up in March of 2022. It'll be the 20th anniversary of Filmapalooza. So it's fitting that it'll be in Washington, D.C., where Mark Rupert and Liz Langston first kicked off the 48-hour film project 21 years ago. And, you know, Filmapalooza is my favorite holiday. I love it. It's, you know, it's right up there with Halloween and you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving for me. And, you know, I love that I meet so many people, make, you know, creative connections and, you know, personal connections. And, you know, this is the first one in 2 years in person. So it's going to be a really special one. And the first person I wanted to talk to was my dear friend Indra here, because in many ways she exemplifies what Filmapalooza is. In 2018, Filmapalooza had its first international iteration, which was in Paris. And it was, you know, it was Olivier Dussos who runs all the French 48s, unsurprisingly put on an amazing Filmapalooza. It was, you know, memorable in so many ways, especially since it was my first time to Paris as well, which is just amazing. Always wanted to go. Studied French for 9 years in San Jose, California. Weird thing to learn in San Jose. But I got to speak French. And the opening night retrospective, my wife Kasia and I went to this gorgeous old theater, in historical theater in Montmartre, to watch five of the best French films over the years and five of the best international films over the years. And we sat in front of two Dutch people, one bald and one with purple hair. And we just started chatting and hit it off. And, you know, went about the rest of Filmapalooza, had an amazing time. And then in 2020, days before the lockdowns and the pandemic happened, you know, 500 of us were running around Rotterdam, hugging and shaking hands and crowding theaters and going to bars and getting tattoos. And, you know, first day at the registration desk, there's Indra and Chris Cherry, our counterpart in Toronto. We wanted to get a 48 tattoo, and we knew that Indra had done a couple of 48 hours in the past. We'll get into that in a little bit. And was, you know, inked up to high heaven and like, we need a third, you know, kind of like the band of Hobbits needed a, you know, needed a 13th. And like, yeah, she's done a whole ton of 48s and speaks the language. And you want to get a tattoo with us? She's like, yeah. And with that, I give you Indra.
It's me.
It's you.
Hi, everyone. This is so cool. It's it's so cool to go back in my head and especially that first night in Paris, because it was my first filmer. I was there as a filmmaker because we won one of the Dutch editions the year before. And I was there with my dear friend Patrick, who was the main actor in our film. And I just remember, it was my first time in Paris as well. And I just remember sitting there in that beautiful theater, because it was just gorgeous, wasn't it? And seeing all these people from all around the world coming in and just talking to everyone. And then you guys sat behind us and were like, he seems cool. You know, these are my type of people, you know, a bit alternative, bit, you know, not fitting
into. I would probably dress something like this.
You were. So we, yeah, like you said, we started talking and I found out you were a city producer, and, you know, that's been in the back of my head for a long time to become that. And then we saw each other again in Rotterdam, and well, you approached me, you and Chris, about doing the tattoo. And I do like my ink. So we went to the it's a famous Dutch tattoo shop called Tattoo Bob, and we went there and we had a camera crew with us and a few other people. It was just like a happening. It was just so cool. It's just like the ultimate thing to do together, right? I mean, you went first because you wanted, and absolutely true and right, to be the first one ever to get a 48-hour logo tattoo. And then I think Chris went, and then I finished up last.
Yes.
So, and you got it on the inside of your arm, right?
I got it, yeah, right there.
Yeah. I got it right there too. By now, there's a bit more surrounding it because I'm starting the sleeve, but it's still there because my artist, the one who's doing my sleeve, she said, so, you know, the placing is a bit awkward. Should we cover it up? I said, nah. No, we're not covering it up now. Yeah, but it's not that pretty. I said, it doesn't matter that it's maybe not pretty in your eyes. It's pretty in my eyes. And what it stands for is even prettier. Because it's 48, it's everything. So never covering that up, ever.
But yeah, I mean, that's Filmapalooza, you know? When you think of, you know, the people we know all over the world now, you know? I always, you know, I always like to joke that, you know, if I need a room to crash in, if I'm in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I can get hooked up.
Yeah.
You know, if I go to Karachi, Pakistan, I can get hooked up.
Yeah, we say KK, hook us up.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, but that's, I think that's the beauty of it. I mean, you know, I've always done the 48 hour in the Netherlands, and we have five, six different cities that do it. So my network went from I don't know anybody to I know everyone in our tiny little country, right? And then I went to Filma in Paris, my first one. And from there on, it just exploded. And now I have friends and, you know, people I know all over the planet. And it's just a mental thing to think of that a filmmaking competition, which we, you know, essentially are, can do that to someone.
Yeah.
So, you know, to know that, you know, if I want to go to, like you said, Ulaanbaatar is a great example. I always have to explain where that is because people don't know it. But if I want to go to, yep, Japan, Poland, anywhere in the States, Mexico, you name it. There's bound to be someone there who does 48 and says, come stay with me. It's a family thing. And it,
exactly. That's, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, personally helped my sanity during the, you know, pandemic and the lockdowns was, I mean, for a good stretch, we had our weekly, you know, Sunday morning/evening, yeah, you know, Zoom calls. And, you know, those went on for, you know, about 3 months. We did it, you know, yeah, pretty religiously. And, you know, it was just great seeing Dino and Iris and Chad and Chris and Aline and KK and, you know, occasionally Mark or Christina, you know, Christina would pop in. And that, you know, that really helped in that time of detachment, you know, very literal detachment. It really helped me. And they go for like, you know, two and a half hours sometimes.
They did. And then Olivier would pop up with his bottle of wine in hand. you know, and it's like early morning for you guys. And we're over here drinking wine because it's like after 5 o'clock, so we're good. I think that whole thing, and not just, you know, but also, you know, talking about everything, right? But also sharing experiences and, you know, how do you guys do this? And how do you guys do that? Because I mean, by now, you know, I've been a city producer for a year and a half now. And shortly after Filma in Rotterdam, I became official.
And no one was surprised.
The thing is, though, because Pierre, our lovely Pierre, who has been a city producer for 2 cities here for about 8 years, taught me everything. Love the man to high heavens and back. He's been nagging me for this for years. And I mean years. And then since Paris, Mark also started to, you know, wouldn't it be cool to, you know, I mean, you've done 42 of them. Isn't it time for next? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It would be cool. But then I wouldn't be able to do the actual 48s anymore. And I'd like to still make the films. And then because I was allowed to help out Hans and Jasper during Filma in Rotterdam so much, I just fell in love with the whole other side of it, and spoke to all of you guys, you know, what's it like? And do you miss making the films? And talking to all of you guys, I basically decided that week, this is what I want to do. And a week later, I was official. So those meetings, you know, not just being able to talk about the pandemic and you know, seeing what it's like for you guys over there and what it's, you know, like for us over here in Europe, and made you feel closer to each other because you're all the same thing together, right? But also learning from each other and just having fun and hearing all the weird stories and situations that you end up in, you know, we're doing 48s. It's just that was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy when you start hearing the stories, you know, behind the curtains. I mean, you go off and you have, you know, your own crazy adventures making these films. And then you talk to the city producers and who invariably have the utmost regard and respect for everyone, you know, who participates in it, you know, from the first timers and hobbyists, you know, to the film students, to the young careerists, you know, all the way up to pros who, you know, just need a creative break for making, you know, content for Amazon and Microsoft and Nintendo and T-Mobile, you know, kind of the soul crushing
corporate stuff. Yeah, non-creative stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, they come in and just, you know, the stories you collect over the years of, you know, just seeing this myriad, you know, rainbow colored, you know, pastiche of filmmakers.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you come to the other side and you just see, there's a lot to commiserate about and a lot to celebrate.
Exactly. Because what struck me the most, I think, is, you know, like, I mean, like I said, I've done 42 of them things, you know, I know how this game works. I know it better than Mark does. Right. So, and then knowing that, you know, I made a mistake once or twice with one of the elements, you know, with the prop or the character, the line, whatnot. And I towed the line of disqualification a few times. and then I was like, no, you can't disqualify me. Blah, blah, blah. And now I'm sitting on the other side of that fence and I'm looking at these films and I'm just sitting there praying they got it right, because I don't want to make that phone call. I don't want to make that phone call.
It's a rough one to make.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
There's
so much goes into it, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, the reactions are always so, it's either, yeah, we know, it's cool, you know, we messed up, we know we did, or you're killing my baby. You're killing art.
Like, I put everything into this. Like, I know, but, you know, there's rules I can't bend.
Yeah.
Because the rules is what make up the backbone of this entire competition. But I think what struck me the most of all, besides, you know, all the practical stuff that goes with being a city producer, is the true and honest feeling of friendship and family between you know, such a great group of us. And because I thought, I know, you know, it's all lovely people and they all like each other and it's fine. But actually being in the center of it and then having those meetings, like you said, you know, those Zoom calls, you know, if you have an issue, there's always someone there to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just such a warm bath that you like get invited into. Because, you know, there's been people that are quite new, like myself. There's been, you know, there's people that been doing it for ages, like yourself, but still with this much love and enthusiasm for, you know, the competition and the films and the filmmakers.
Yeah.
I just think there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. It's I can't wait to see everyone, you know, it's, but it's that, you know, it's a family reunion, you know, I didn't go to my like homecoming dances or, you know, senior prom or anything. I wasn't interested in that. I went to, you know, Primus shows instead. And, you know, I mean, Filmapalooza is that for me, you know, it's my version of, you know, homecoming and prom and, but it's more like a, you know, family reunion too, where definitely, we all get together. Yeah.
Yeah. We all get together and, you know, especially, you know, there's the feeling of, you know, international collaboration and bonding is so cool, because you're like, right now you're on the other side of the planet,
Yeah, we're nine time zones apart.
And later on today, it's 11 o'clock at night for me when I have a meeting with Mark, and it's 5 o'clock for them, but it's fine because that's just how it is. So you go to Filma and all of a sudden you're all in the same time zone. You're all there together. You can, you know, you go have a drink, go have a laugh, go have a talk. It's like family reunion, holiday, outing, all put together.
Yeah.
And same with the filmmakers, because you get to meet people from all over the world that have been playing the exact same game, whether you're from, you know, somewhere in the States or from Japan. It's all the same thing, and you all have the same experiences. How many hours did you sleep? I slept none. Yeah, me too. It's the same thing everywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, it's nice because, you know, you get to see the host city, you know, kind of in a way that I like to travel, which is, you know, a little by the seat of my pants, you know, more like touring with a rock band than, you know, traditional, you know, holiday tour, you know, like in, you know, so when it was in Paris, I'd never been, I'd been all over Europe at that point, you know, except for like, you know, Germany, France, England, Spain, you know, the places that, you know, most Americans, you know, dream of going. You know, I go to Bulgaria and Serbia and Poland and
also
Norway, all great places. Love all those places. Had been to Italy and, you know, spent my entire time 5 days in Italy pissed off at how good the food and coffee were everywhere. But Kasia, you know, my wife, she'd been to Paris and, you know, she loves it. You know, we didn't stay at the official hotel because it was a little out of our price range. And, but we stayed at this nice, you know, comfortable little hotel that was four blocks from the Louvre. You know, we found, you know, a bakery around the corner we had breakfast at every day. There's a, you know, brasserie right on the corner where, you know, we'd get espresso and beer at. You know, we tromped around and, you know, saw some of Kasia's favorite places, but it was so compressed, you know, we didn't get to go to the Louvre. It was just like, we didn't want to waste half a day just getting into the place.
Yeah.
But, you know, we made two trips to Montmartre. You know, we walked from our hotel to the Arc de Triomphe. You know, got a croque monsieur up by the, you know, Eiffel Tower, and, you know, we saw a lot of it in, you know, just a few days. Went to the Pompadour, which Kasia was really excited about. She's, you know, big art nut. And, you know, we hung out with city producers and friends and, you know, watched movies and, you know, swapped stories. It's just, you know, when you get like kind of the inside track from your local host, it's great. You know, because in 2017, we hosted it here in Seattle. And I wish Chris had been my co-producer then, because like events are her thing. That's what she does. I mean, I was flying by the seat of my pants. And, you know, our opening night kickoff was at the lobby for KEXP. And, you know, which is it's a world-renowned radio station at this point. And, you know, we had the executive director of the Seattle Mayor's Office of Film and Music talk. We had Amy Lillard, our Washington State Film Commissioner, talk.
Nice. And
400 people from all over the world, with the help of one of our, you know, sibling film festivals, STIFF. They provided all the booze. Yeah. And then, you know, I got up and I was just looking around, and I normally don't have a problem, you know, speaking in front of crowds, but I was just looking, it's like, you know, there's people from all over the world here right now. This is, they're in my hometown. You know, I got to make sure they're having a good time. I mean, I barely slept that entire, Yeah.
Gosh.
You know, it was just amazing. And, you know, it was great to have Kate Becker, who used to be the director of the Office of Film and Music for Seattle. She's now working with King County, which is where Seattle's in King County, working there and doing amazing work there. And Amy Lillard from Washington Filmworks, the state film commissioner. I mean, it was great because they, you know, afterwards they were just like, holy crap, you know, they've been so helpful with me in the 48 over the years. They had no idea just the global scope of it. They were blown away.
Most people don't. If you, I mean, people that participate regularly, you know, they know. But if I, for instance, go out and look for, I don't know, new sponsor or whatnot, right? Then I go, well, it was an international film festival, filmmaking competition festival thing. We're in over 130 cities in the world. They go, really? Really? Is it that big? Yeah, it's that big. And it's, I mean, I think, you know, the marketing can be, you know, even, we can be even bigger, but it's a worldwide phenomena in a certain part of the industry. And there's a lot of people that start out doing 48s, like myself. When I did my very first 48 back in 2011, so it's my 10-year anniversary this year, I suppose, when I started out with Pierre as an actress, we do not speak of this. pretty bad, proper bad. It like opened a door in my soul saying, oh, hold on. So this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be making films. Ah, you know, and from there on out, I learned about the 48 and how big it was and you know, people involved. And from there on out, I started meeting people. I started learning how to produce. I started learning how to make films. I now have my own company in the audiovisual industry. I run three cities in the Netherlands. I get to help produce Filmapalooza for the second year in a row. I mean, what? Little old me, knowing absolutely nothing, with no film-related schooling or whatever, this is what the 48 can do for you. If you, you know, have passion and have love for filmmaking, for storytelling, for people, it can bring you, well, like in my case, everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I got involved in the 48, you know, kind of in a, you know, strange way, in that, you know, it was 2004. You know, I was two and a half years out of film school, you know, looking to, you know, still developing my career and just wanting to get into anything I could. And we heard about this thing called the 48-Hour Film Project. And, you know, a bunch of my friends were like, you know, this sounds really cool. You know, it's totally doable. And we look at the website, no Seattle. And I'm like, well, that's bullshit. Like, what's up with that? Portland has it, you know, and Portland, you know, there's a friendly rivalry between, you know, Portland and Seattle. It's just 3 hours to the south, which in European terms is like four countries away.
True. No lie.
Depending on what part of Europe you're in. And so I started emailing Mark and Liz, you know, like, why don't you have this as BS? And they ever so politely put up with these terrible emails I sent them. And they're like, well, if you're interested, you know, ever the diplomats, like, mm-hmm. we have a sibling competition called the National Film Challenge. You know, it goes on internationally. It's now the 4 points. So the National Film Challenge became 4 points. And if you're interested, you know, it's the same thing, except it goes on worldwide the same weekend and you get 72 hours instead of 48. I was like, cool, thanks. So I put out a call to friends and they said, you know, we had way too much of a response. I mean, enough that we actually split into two teams, registered two teams. And one team did so well making, you know, a film noir comedy that it was invited to Filmapalooza, which is in my hometown of San Jose, California in 2005, which is, you know, really crazy. Like, San Jose has some culture in it. That's weird. We always kind of referred to it as like the armpit of the Bay Area.
That's harsh.
Not San Jose. And the team that I ended up on, our film, it was funny, but the poor director, he got screwed so hard. At like 2 a.m., he's like, okay, I'm happy with where the script idea is going. He's like, I'm going to go get some sleep and get ready. And I'm like, okay, cool. Dave's happy. The writers are going to write the script. So I'm like, I'm going to take a nap too, because I got to produce two teams this weekend. Like, they wait for me to fall asleep. We're in our office in, you know, downtown Belltown, Seattle. They trash the script and start over. So 6 a.m. rolls around. Director shows up and just goes, what? What is this? And all the writers had fled. They just, you know, they wrote this new thing. And poor Dave, he had to recreate everything from memory.
They just left?
Yeah. I woke up, they were gone, there was a script, and it was a case of clashing egos, and young filmmakers, you know, I don't bear anyone any grudges from it. You know, Dave pulled it off, you know, he finished it on time, but you know, it just wasn't great. It was funny, it was fun to watch, but not a solid story.
Right.
So the other film, the other team, they were just laser focused, and you know, they knocked it out of the park. We got invited to film it screened. It's in my hometown. I'm staying with my brother and my sister-in-law to be, and having a blast. I'm in my early 30s, and you know, friends from Seattle came down, and we drank with the boys from Sheffield like you wouldn't believe. And last night of Filma at a hotel in downtown San Jose, which had cleaned up a lot since I, you know, moved away and from San Jose in 1990, we were having drinks with, he's blank on his name, but he was the library cop from Seinfeld. He was in a film called Duck that was playing at Cinequest. Yeah. And he's telling all of us youngsters to, you know, just stay at it, do what you love. It was great. He was fantastic. And, you know, at the end of the night, Liz comes up and she's like, yeah, you know, Mark and I, we really loved your film. And I'm like, you know, I really had nothing to do with that film other than like, you know, get food to them. You know, check in to make sure they're on schedule. They were really self-contained. And I'm just wasted at this point. Just wasted, because I could do that back then. And so Liz says, well, you know, it seems like you had a good time. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to do it again. And she goes, how'd you like to start up the 48 hour film project in Seattle? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. And I wake up the next morning just like hungover, like, I'm an editor, what did I just sign up for? What? Oh, and you know, this is 2005, you know, 48 was still a baby. It was only in like 25 cities at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the tools that we city producers use, they didn't exist. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, none of that existed. You know, we had to hit bulletin boards and Craigslist.
MySpace.
This is, MySpace wasn't even that big, you know.
Oh, go figure.
Then, you know, yet, you know, it was used. And so it really was very DIY. And, you know, the help of Mark and Liz, I mean, they were very hands-on. And, you know, I got to thank Rob Hatch from Baltimore and Portland. I mean, he was my mentor first couple of years, because he had a couple of years under his belt. He's the only producer in the game right now that's been doing it longer than me.
Really?
By 1 year.
By 1 year. Oh.
Yeah. You know, those three, they really helped me, you know, get it off the ground, get it on good footing, and, you know, help grow it. And then, you know, Christina and Ben and Brian and Laura all came into the picture over the next coming years. And our, you know, base of tools, you know, started to grow, made it easier and easier and easier. You know, I mean, I couldn't believe, you know, I pulled it off in 2005 in only 3 months, you know, between inception and getting it going with 24 teams.
Whew. 24 teams in your first try.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm in a metropolitan area of about 2 million people, so.
Oh, yeah. The scale of everything still gets to me and you guys. I swear to God, because I've never been to the States, right? So Washington is going to be my very first visit and taste of the United States. And I think, because again, I live in the Netherlands, we're about this tiny. you know, if you drive from my place 3 hours, you're in France and you skip Belgium and Luxembourg. So, you know, and when you say, oh, we got 24 teams on the first try, I'm like, that's really good. And then you say, well, you know, we have, you know, 2 million people. I'm like, oh, yeah. So we have six cities over 17 million, but a very, I'd say, I think a smaller, you know, film industry perhaps than for instance, Seattle.
We have we're kind of one of the flyover states when it comes to the industry, because we got, you know, Vancouver just to the north of us.
Right.
We have, you know, massive studio system, massive tax incentives. And then we have Oregon to the south, which has a bigger film incentive than we do. And then to the east, we have Montana, who just in 2019 fired up their film incentive. And it started out at three times the size of ours, which had been around for over a decade at that point.
Right.
So, you know, it's we're working on it. I work heavily, you know, lobbying on behalf of our film incentive. But yeah, I mean, the distances and the populations, I mean, Europe tends to be more densely populated, you know, pockets of multiple cities. And just to put it into perspective, when I go visit my brother and his family in Montana, you know, I make this drive in one day, it's an 800 kilometer drive. And in between, let's see here, and in between, you know, basically Seattle metropolitan area and the Missoula metropolitan area, it's only a city of 50,000 people and they live south of that. Let's see here. I hit, you know, there's really only two cities along the way, along that stretch. There's a bunch of towns, but yeah, there's only two cities that you hit before you hit, you know, Missoula. There's Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. And
I can't wait to get a taste of this. I swear to God, I can't wait.
But you're going to be on the East Coast, so it's going to be much more similar to a European experience. It's once you get west of the Mississippi that these distances just become way more vast.
Right. Well, as far as I know, like, I mean, we're not going to have film in Europe anytime soon anymore, so... you know, there might be another chance for me to visit the West Coast. You never know.
Well, Chris and I are, you know, champing at the bit to get Filma back to Seattle.
Oh, that'd be cool.
We don't have any formal proposals or anything in, but you know, we're gonna, you know, it was good. Well, Filma.
To be fair though, shouldn't it be the 1 year in the US and then the next year in Europe?
That's really been the goal. But, you know,
there's quite a few cities that can actually pull it off. I mean, I'm pretty sure. I mean, London could pull it off. Definitely. Gideon could pull that off. Gideon, if you're listening, I'll fly over and come and help. It's fine.
Prague. I want Prague.
Yes, Prague would be great. I mean, I would love to bring it back to the Netherlands, but it would be very hard to top what our dear friends Hans and Jasper have done, because
they
that was
killed it.
Fantastic effort.
That was amazing.
Kill it. They were so good, and it was all so very well organized and so fun and so streamlined and so pretty and
wet.
Especially because, like, literally days after, the whole world turned upside down.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting at home. I think because we were there until like the Sunday, and I think I sat at home the day after I came back, and then, you know, the whole COVID corona thing started sprouting, was showing its ugly head. And I'm thinking, I was hugging like 100 people yesterday. What's going on? and I remember Mark being, you know, the clever man that he is. I saw him and I hadn't seen him since Barrett's. And I really wanted to give him a hug. So I kind of did the whole slow-mo kind of thing towards him. And I went like this. And he went, no, no.
I know.
He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to tap my foot. So he stuck out his leg and he tapped his foot against mine. And I'm a very unbalanced person as is. So it was quite, you know, awkward. But I'm like, this guy is nuts, right? This guy is nuts. Turns out he was the cleverest of all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember, you know, flying out of SeaTac Airport. I flew out on February 29th. And because I like to, even though I wasn't working a film of that year, I wanted to have, I like to, you know, feather my trip with a day on either side. And, you know, spent the night in Amsterdam and learned that in Amsterdam, people don't get up early. Very hard to find coffee when jet lag wakes you up at 4:30.
I remember you posted that picture on Facebook.
Yeah, no one's here.
What's happening? Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, SeaTac Airport and Keflavik in Iceland were both, you know, packed on the flight out. And I actually, I caught my flight home. It was, again, Schiphol to Reykjavik to Seattle. And I was actually on the flight from Amsterdam to Reykjavik with Chris and Jesse from Toronto. And, you know, I mean, they're, Chris has been a dear friend since I met him at Filmapalooza in 2013. You know, I met Jesse, you know, his wife in Filmapalooza Paris. And it was kind of funny because, you know, I go to more Filmapaloozas than he does. You know, he messages me in 2018. You going to Filma? I'm like, you know I am. And he's like, I'm bringing Jesse. I'm like, I'm bringing Kasia. And so all of a sudden I know that, you know, at that moment in Toronto, there's a conversation. It was like, oh my God, I can't wait for you to meet Kirk. And I turned, and there's a conversation in Seattle. I turned to Kasia. Oh my God, I can't wait for you to meet Chris. And then, you know, we all got together and, you know, Jesse and Kasia hit it off immediately. Kasia and, you know, Chris hit it off. Jesse and I hit it off. And we, you know, we had a blast together.
It's lovely. I mean, they're lovely, 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 lovely people. They're like fantastic. And of course, the three of us are linked for life.
Yes.
You know, through the power of ik. But I think like, I mean, you would never, ever make friends with people from, you know, over there or over here if you weren't involved in the 48. That's, I mean, because I went to Cannes, right? After winning in 2017, I had the pleasure of being in Paris for Filma, and both Filmapaloozas, for that matter, two of the best weeks of my life, hands down, hands down. Then after, I also got to go to Cannes, and, you know, they have the 48-hour screening there, and the parties, and, you know, I met people from Ulaanbaatar. The boys from Ulaanbaatar were there. Gorgeous film.
I remember that film. It was amazing.
Oh, it makes me cry every time. Beautiful. The people from Buffalo, shout out to Jordan and this hashtag Buffalo Love crew. We had the best time with them in Cannes. And I just found out there's like this promotional video for 48 and for Filmapalooza and that. And we're all in that. So Patrick and I are in there and the Buffalo crew is in there. And I met Jordan there. Really hope to see him again in Washington. And we just had a blast there. It was just so special because, I mean, Cannes in itself is a crazy business. It's mental. It's like its own little universe and it's completely mad, but fantastic. And like, I remember standing there on like the strip, whatever you call it, the boulevard, let's keep it the boulevard, standing there in my, you know, black tie dress, with my blue hair and my blue dress, thinking, I'm at the film festival in Cannes. I have a film screening at the film festival in Cannes. And when that hit me, I'm thinking, I'm here because of the 48. I would have never, ever gotten here if it wasn't for the 48 and all the people I met throughout the years. And I remember standing there thinking, you know, I wish my dad could have seen this for, you know, first. And then this is absolutely insane. This is insane.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that sums up the 48 pretty well. It's insane, but it's insanely awesome and insanely loving and crazy. And because, you know, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of year. You know, I can't wait to go to DC. It's, you know, it's been a long time in coming, you know, for DC to host it. And I, you know, I'm really, you know, excited for Mark and Christina, because, you know, definitely. Get to, you know, show us the birthplace. And, you know, I mean, I haven't been to DC since my senior year in high school. I've been twice, when I was in eighth grade and then my senior year. You know, I'm really excited to, you know, see it again, and kind of terrified at the same time with, you know, the political tenor of this country at this point.
And Corona, COVID, obviously. I mean, like I have weekly nightmares about ships hitting the fan again, and, you know, it falling through. And especially now I'm so, you know, closely involved in the organizing of it all. I say all, I do quite a few bits, but I do various bits, and I'm you know, I feel so honored and so blessed to be able to help out and be involved in that and work together with Mark and with Brian and Wouter and Christina, and with everyone that is involved, obviously, because it's so huge and it means so much to so many people that you really want to do your absolute best, meaning that I'm, you know, working 60 hours a week besides doing my own, having my own company and doing all the work for Filma, because I love doing it for everyone, for myself, and then being able to go there and see Mark in, you know, his natural habitat, and you know, where it all started. I'm so pleased for them that it's looking, you know, this good that we can actually go through with it. But it's very scary world right now, so it's also always in the back of my mind that it might fall through, and that would absolutely break my heart.
Yeah, I mean, just because, you know, I feel, you know, super bad for, you know, Seattle's 2020, you know, winners, because they got a virtual Filmapalooza, which, yes. I mean, granted, I mean, you and Chris really rocked that, you know, event.
Chris was amazing. Chris is amazing. This woman is dynamite, I'm telling you.
Chris Blank is my co-producer here in Seattle, for those of you that don't know. And she started, well, kind of Chris's origin story is we met taking a directing class at Freehold Theater here in Seattle, and, you know, just hit it off immediately. Like, you know, like working together, and we just liked each other, got along well. And she invited me and another filmmaker friend of ours to follow a friend of ours who had stage 4 lung cancer do the Birkebeiner cross country race in Lillehammer, Norway.
Right.
And, you know, we went over, and, you know, I never cried so much while traveling, because, you know, as we went along to, because he has a ton of family over there and he spent a lot of time over there, and that's why he wanted to do it, this race. But we knew he was saying goodbye to everyone as we were, that's, you know, tough, visiting family. It was, I mean, it's an experience I'll, you know, never regret, but it was tough, you know, solidified that Chris and I could work together. And then she started, you know, she'd done the 48 and, it, you know, volunteered at kickoff and drop off to, you know, help me out and at the screenings. And then in November of 2017, I was getting my horror awards together, and I got a call from my brother on a Sunday saying, you need to get out to Montana now. And I tried at 4 p.m. to get on a 6 p.m. flight to Missoula, because my mom was not, she was in a hospital in Missoula, not doing well. So I didn't get that same day flight. I had to wait until the next morning. But I called up Chris and I said, can you run my, you know, the awards event for me if necessary? I don't know if I'm going to be back in 2 days or, you know, 3 weeks. Turns out it was 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so she lives in Maple Valley and I live in Burien. And kind of the halfway point is the city of Renton, where Boeing is. And, you know, we met in the parking lot of this kind of like sports complex, community theater, you know, it was like, it must have looked like a drug deal to anyone who came by. But I was just handing off a hard drive with all the, you know, award-winning films. Right. And later the next day, I texted Chris and just said, yeah, you're going to have to run the awards for me. And, you know, on the night of the awards, I saw pictures popping up on Facebook and everyone was saying what a great time they had. And I'm like, okay, that's it, Chris. You have to be my co-producer. That's, you know, so wow. She came through. I mean, at the time that I needed it the most, I'd never missed a 48 event before, you know, but you know, the death of one's mother kind of, it surpasses most things.
Yeah. I mean, when my dad died 6 years ago, my dad died of cancer, and 2 weeks after, we were supposed to do a 48. And my whole team was like, you know, you don't have to, and it's fine. And, you know, I'm a producer, so I produce and you know, but they would, you know, lost without me. Great people, but, you know, a team needs a producer and a proper one. And I'm like, no, I really want to do it. And because it's important, it was important to my dad because I always showed him, you know, the films I made. So he would have wanted me to go through it, and I can really, really use a distraction and fun people around me now, you know. So that really, really helped me get through that.
Yeah.
You know, those first weeks and just having the support and the love of the people and getting your, you know, your creativity out. And a year later, I met someone through someone I met via 48 who essentially designed the logo that I have for my company now, which includes my dad's profile.
Oh, nice.
So even that, I got through someone I met at the 48.
Yeah.
And I think people like Chris, I mean, I had the pleasure of working with her, you know, earlier this year on the online event, and she is a machine, but a machine with such a big heart. And I think she is just a fabulous woman. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, once, you know, she's a dear friend. And I think, you know, once we achieve a post-pandemic normal, I think she's going to be the magic element to help us get into triple digit registration. You know, it was like I'd done all I could basically by myself. And I want, you know, we have the population, we have the desire that I think we should be a triple digit city, you know, got to beat San Diego.
Right, because there's like competition between all of us as well.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, we cannot, let's be honest for 1 second, we cannot compete with cities like Mexico, with, like, I mean, you know, all the French cities. I mean, because like what they do in Mexico, like 200 teams,
mental. 220. It's just insane.
It's mental, Camila, it's mental.
But that's a city with a population of 28 million. A city.
It's insanity. I mean, we do about an average, I think Rotterdam is still always the biggest one here with around about 50 teams outside of a pandemic. That's, I mean, because we all know the numbers have been, you know, decreasing because of the pandemic, which makes sense. So it, like you said, you know, let's hope that after this is all over and we can get back to normal, whatever that's going to be like. You know, everybody can go out and make films again. And but it's fun to have a little competition amongst ourselves, saying how many teams did you get? Okay. And I think that's fun. I think that's healthy.
You know? Yeah, it's like, for, you know, years I was like, okay, I gotta be Portland, gotta be Portland. You know, because I mean, the funny thing is in, you know, 2005 when I started it here, no one thought of, you know, Portland as a place with a serious, you know, film or TV industry.
Right.
Fast forward a couple of years, you know, they've got 5 TV series going and, you know, several feature films going every year.
I think it also helps because, I mean, to put it in, but we have, one of my cities, Nijmegen, is a very, very small city. with like, I don't know. I don't know how many people live there. I don't know. I don't know numbers. I don't remember those. But it's small. And not necessarily a very lively, you know, film industry or anything. You know, there's a short film festival, Oscar qualifying short film festival that we used to work with. But that's about it. But the beauty of being in a small country is that people come from everywhere.
Yeah.
So we get teams from the other side of the country. That's not something that you guys get to do, you know, clearly, logically. So we have a few teams, you know, a few teams that all of us know, because they always go to, I used to be one of those teams, you know, that always go to every single city and do them all every year, because it's an addiction, really. I mean, even as a city producer, I feel addicted, because we started out with two, and now we're going to do the special, which is very exciting. yeah, it's super cool. And especially for geeks like me, it's a dream come true to, you know, do a 48 that is especially for the, you know, genres, the sci-fi, horror, fantasy, you know, a thing that is needed and important. But, you know, also I think speaking to people at Filma, speaking to, you know, you guys like this via Zoom, you get insights from different cultures, from, you know, different people, different backgrounds, different everything.
Exactly.
And that grows you as a person so much.
Yeah.
And that's just priceless.
Yeah.
Because you gain insight into things that, I mean, I didn't know a lot about America. I live in Europe. I don't know a lot about America. I don't watch the news. You know, I can be a little ignorant sometimes. I can be. But knowing all you guys over there, talking to you guys about it, made me more aware of the world around me. It's true. And, you know.
And you met us all during a very interesting time in American history.
Yes. I mean, but also that, I mean, every time I you know, we would go on the Zoom calls and we're like, okay, how are you guys doing? Are you okay? it's so interesting. And I think that is just the coolest thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I've always been, you know, an advocate of travel. You know, I've been to most of the United States. It's a big damn country. I mean, you know, Texas is the size of France.
Yeah. Hello.
And France is not a small country. And in 1989, you know, I got to go to the Soviet Union for 3 weeks. You know, St. Petersburg was still Leningrad back then.
Wow.
You know, I was a 17-year-old kid, and, you know, I spent 4th of July, Independence Day, in Red Square in Moscow. You know, I mean, talk about just having your brain blown wide open. And, you know, just, you know, as a child of the 80s in the United States, of, you know, a child of the Cold War, learning which, you know, having a bunch of stereotypes and misconceptions busted, you know, about the people of the Soviet Union, but also a lot of them confirmed as well. You know, it was just, you know, very, very eye-opening for me as a 17-year-old. And then, you know, didn't travel to Europe for a long time. And in 2011, I got to go on tour with the band Culture Shock, and we went to Italy, Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, and Bulgaria. And again, you know, just my brain blown wide open. I, you know, came back a fundamentally different person in a lot of ways. Angry that I can't get coffee that good at a reasonable price here. You know, even the garbage coffee in Italy, you know, it would be like a $7 shot here.
Yeah.
But you get it for a euro out of a vending machine there. And that's their crap coffee. You know, being able to travel and just, you know, meeting people and, you know, eating different foods and, you know, just even, you know, I'm always struck by, you know, this memory of just how different the clouds were in Italy, you know, compared to where I live, you know, in the Northwest. It's a very, very perspective, you know, enlarging event, traveling and meeting people.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. 100%. And I think it, you know, it fuels not only personal growth, but also creativity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and passion for the people that we do this for, you know, that we organize these festivals and these competitions for. And, you know, after, you know, working on it or working towards it, and then actually being there at the OAP, I remember being in Paris at the award show, which was in the in City Hall, where like nobody gets to go. Nobody gets to go there.
That was amazing.
And we got in there and it was just out of a, it was just something out of a movie. It was so pretty, right?
Yeah.
In all the lights and the gold and the colors and the beautiful architecture, and it was just amazing. And I was there in a very, very uncomfortable dress. And
I was in a tie, so I was in hell.
I mean, I'm not a dressy kind of girl.
Why we get along?
But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, you can't show up to a pretty place like that in jeans and a t-shirt. So, but I just remember sitting there thinking, I'm so privileged to see this on the inside because nobody gets, you know. And then, it's just, it's all very cheesy, mushy, gushy, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And I mean, I know, you know, from the people in my, for like my friends and stuff, most of them who I met through 48, they kind of moved. I wouldn't say moved on because they still sometimes do one, but none of them are as crazy about it as I am. Now I do realize that there's not a lot of people that are as crazy about it as I am, but the feeling that you belong to something this big and are being appreciated for who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
And that there are, you know, that you appreciate everyone around you for who they are and what they do. And for all the different people we are, for all the different backgrounds, all the different colors, all the different, you know, sexual orientation, whatever you are, whatever your pronoun is, we're just one big family that loves our makers and creativity and film. And I just think that's the most beautiful thing. It really is.
Well, I don't know what I can say beyond that. I think we're coming up on an hour here, and I think that was just a beautiful wrap up of the whole thing.
Well, I mean, thing I didn't say at the beginning.
Well, then that's such a wonderful, you know, wrap up of this, and, you know, focusing on, you know, Filmapalooza and just the family that you know, the 48 creates. It's, you know, we haven't hung out. I mean, you and I haven't hung out together much in person. But, you know, I feel we have, you know, very, very, you know, developed deep friendship at this point.
I agree.
And whenever we talk, you know, it's just like, there's no real catching up. It's just, boom, we pick up from where we left. You know, it's fantastic. And, you know, I hope we got to, you know, get the band back together and,
yes,
in March.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. And I please, universe, I'm as atheist as they come, but if there's something out there, please make sure this can happen, because I need it. Like, my soul needs it.
We got to see all our pals and, you know, meet the new pals and
have a drink, get things. Yes.
Exactly. Watch great films from around the world.
Oh, I've already seen a few. Oh.
Oh yeah, I've seen. I'll finish up for you my judging today, my pre-judging.
Yes.
There's some good stuff.
Oh, there really is.
I don't want to say which cities I like, but there's some surprises.
Definitely, I think. But that's a cool thing, right? I mean, because, you know, for the people we like review all the films before they go to the judges, right? So we make sure that all the elements are in order and all that kind of stuff. So we get to see all these films from all around the world. And in one afternoon, I'm going from Vegas to Osaka to Melbourne to Warsaw. And they're all so different.
Mm-hmm.
In not only in, you know, quality, but also in feeling, and you can sort of sometimes taste some culture in there, but it's all the same game.
Like, I can't wait for people to see the Shanghai film.
I haven't watched that yet.
It's all about the bucket.
Oh, I Oh, that nearly, that damn near killed me.
I was laughing.
There are three, there are four. Well, the guy killed me. I thought it was so clever and so funny. I love it. I mean,
I had to watch it several times just because I kept laughing and I was missing stuff.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I loved it. I love it. But that's so cool because it's a film from Shanghai, we're going to say.
Yeah.
And then there's these two beautiful Chinese people that are doing beautiful job acting. And then there's this weirdo speaking English doing something very funny.
And it's like a mix between a soap opera and a noir.
Only a 48-hour can make this happen. You know, like there's nobody in his right mind that has time on his hands and says, you know what, this weekend, I'm going to do something crazy. There's only 48-hour films that are that.
And I mean, the prop was a water bucket. And it was just like, talk about embracing, you know, using the required elements.
Yeah.
You know, not finding a way to fit them in, but just embracing it and, you know, running.
That's the game, right? I mean, that's the whole game. If you use them right, I think to me, that was always the challenge. I'd always say to my script writers, use it, because it's not there to just, you know, wiggle in or put on a shelf somewhere. Use it as an inspiration to build the story around.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, another part of being a series producer is obviously, you know, coming up with the elements, with the props and the lines and the thing. And I love that bit. I love that bit because I'm a little bit of a sadist. So I love to like make it really hard. So I came up with an aromatherapist for our last city. And it's so funny because I wake up in the middle of the night, I think of aromatherapist for some reason, random. I have very, very much ADHD. So just random things pop in my head all the time. And 2 weeks later, there's 18 films about with an aromatherapist in it. It's weird, but it's also so fun.
We had 48 films about Chris Cherry, bartender, for this year.
Nice. I used Bart and Anton, our friends from Leeuwarden, another city over here, because it was their last year. So I took Anton's first name and Bart's last name and put them together. And
nice.
Like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is fun, right? Yeah, well.
Yeah. You know, I've used friends, friends of mine in the past, you know, with their permission, of course. So when we held Filmapalooza in Seattle, one of my best friends in the world, Val Kiyosofsky, he owns Solo Bar in the lower Queen Anne portion of Seattle. And he's also the guitarist for the band Culture Shock. And, you know, just one of my dearest friends. And he's been such a huge supporter of the 48, you know, since his bar opened. That 1 year in the horror competition, I made the character Val or Valerie Kiyosofsky. And Val's full name is actually Valerie Kiyosofsky. So, you know, it works perfectly. You know, musician.
Last name.
Yeah, he escaped from Bulgaria. You know, amazing story. You know, very successful, you know, has a successful band, two successful bars/restaurants.
Wow.
It was the official hangout for, you know, Filmapalooza in 2017. But I'd forgot, you know, I thought it was funny enough that I was including Val in the, you know, as the character, but I'd forgotten that one of the participants was also a friend. Val's. So he actually got the Val Kiyosofsky to play Val Kiyosofsky.
That is genius. That is genius. And I would have done the same thing. That is fantastic.
And to top it all off, the film was basically one gigantic fart joke.
I mean, the things you see sometimes, right? It's just, the creativity of people. The humor, I mean.
Sometimes you want to call, you know, some sort of health service on people, but.
Yeah. They call them up, are you okay? Talk to me. Are you okay, really?
That was an awful lot of vomit in that film. An awful lot of unexplained vomit in that film.
Should we get you any help? You know, are you sure? but seeing the faces, you know, when you do the awards ceremony and stuff, and my hair is a little frizzy, you know, seeing the happiness of and the you know, how proud people are of something that they've won, it's just so cool. It's just so, I mean, I've done 42. I won once, which is a really bad track record. but I remember the feeling, you know, and now facilitating that feeling for people. So cool, man. So cool.
I don't see a time in the foreseeable future where I'm going to stop doing this. I, you know, I love helping advance people's careers.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
I love doing, you know, what people have done for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to wrap this up. I have to go see Spider-Man in a
couple hours. You're going to love it. It is so good.
I can't wait. I saw Alfred Molina and went, okay, I'm in.
You're
going to
love it. It's going to blow your
But, you know, in the heat of Filmapalooza, it's going to happen. Just, I'm putting that out there. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I am enlisting you officially on camera as a co-producer in the 48-hour film project documentary I want to do.
100%. Count me in. You got me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Here's a surprise twist that I want to make not a surprise twist. I want to get Mark and Liz, the founders, to Antarctica. I want, even if it's only one team, I want a 48 produced in Antarctica with a screening with Mark and Liz present. Because the joke is we're on 6 or 7 continents. Let's get to that 7th continent.
I love it.
You see Mark and Liz with a 48 flag planting it at like McMurdo.
I mean, that is gold. That is gold.
So you and me, we're going to make that happen.
We have
the network. We have the network of people through the 48 and Filmapalooza. We can do this.
I mean, I don't know anyone in Antarctica, birds of my head, but yeah, that is.
We could run it up the flagpole. You know, send the feelers out in the into the 48 verse, and
let's see what we can let's see what we can cook up.
All right. Well, thank you, Indra. Thank you so much. I sincerely hope I'm going to see you in a couple of months.
Same, my friend. Same. I've got a really, really big fat hug waiting. So
fantastic.